As the children are being dismissed this morning, I want to begin, by thanking all of those who showed up yesterday and unloaded the 26-footer. For those of you who came this morning, right after service, we have another 52-footer coming, so I hope you brought your muscles with you. And in all seriousness, I don't know if there's another place to put a box. So even if there was really a 52-footer, we'd be out of space to put it. So I want to thank everyone who showed up and helped lift. It took us, a little less than an hour to unload the truck. And we had yesterday, we had Mitchell on the truck. He was acting like Thor, He could have picked up his hammer, I'm sure. But then, as Mike Tyson would say, or Dave Love, he said he would show up this morning four. So if you guys know Mike Tyson, you know we're not talking about Thor from the movie. The Thor muffled. I want to thank everyone, and I am really delighted to be standing here this morning. As Gene was saying this morning, and I don't doubt this, that the past 2 years have probably been an hellacious struggle for you, just as the past has been in some way a hellacious struggle for us. But our God is faithful, our God is glorious, and He is greatly to be praised. So this morning, give God a round of applause for what He's doing and what He is going to do. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God is preparing and stationing His people for a great work? Because this morning you have to believe that. I want to say, Merry Christmas to all of you. We're still not past the Christmas season till tomorrow. At least we don't have trees to take down. How many's got their trees down already? All right. Okay, we got a couple. We got ours down already, so we're ahead of the curve. And I want to begin by saying a Happy New Year. While it is New Year's Eve, I want to encourage you that while it is the end of the year and while it is the end of a season, I believe today starts a new season. Not just a season of a new year, but a season of refreshing, a season of renewal, a season of doing a new work, and like a weightlifter would say, I'm jacked to get going. So this morning we're going to be approaching our worship to God out of Isaiah 61. So if you want, you can start getting there. The last time we spoke, a little over a month or so ago, we spoke about laying the cornerstone of our church. Laying the cornerstone of what? Future things to come. We discovered that Jesus is not only the cornerstone in our lives, but the cornerstone of our church. And when I say church, I say collectively. He's the cornerstone of our lives individually. He's the cornerstone of our lives collectively, the body. And I believe this new year, we will be dedicating the work of our people to what seems have been the last 2 or 3 years of prayer, not only from you, but from us. So God has aligned His people, God has aligned His church, God has aligned us to come into something new. And I need you to believe that with us. You know, the last several years, our world has seen a lot of suffering. Disasters for many people, maybe some of us here. The world has gone through quite a bit of recession. Sicknesses have hit the world at an alarming rate. Many countries, including the Philippines, including London, including France, America, and many other places, have been hit by terrorism. Many have lost jobs. Many have gotten jobs. And now we have to worry about the unchallenged persecution of Christians. While at an alarming rate, states pass laws to prevent Christians from freely worshiping. But just the same, and I don't want to, let's say, leave you depressed this morning, but just the same in our church, the people in this building have been through hard times. Are we found in God's favor? I believe not only today, but this new year, we will be writing a very different story. And I'm excited about that. So let's look to our scripture this morning in Isaiah 61. I apologize, there's no PowerPoint this morning, but as you see, we are writing a new story. Collectively and individually, we can write a new story. The story is still being written. Starting in verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, in the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated, and they will renew ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in the riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will receive your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion of your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of His righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes up the sprout, for as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. May God add a blessing to the reading of His word. You know, in the scripture reading of Isaiah 61 this morning, the text is about the liberation of Israel from years of captivity in Babylon. God speaks to them through the prophet Isaiah and assures them about the coming redemption and restoration will result in rejoicing for his people. More than that, the promise talks about the time of the coming of the Messiah who will usher us to the year of grace, the year of renewal, and a year of celebration because God's favor for them. Are you looking forward to a year of renewal? Are you looking to the promise that God has in store? Are you looking to write a new story? Are you looking to begin a new beginning? Are you looking to close out an old end? For some of us, we call those New Year's resolutions. My only resolution is not to start one so that I'll succeed next year, right? And I won't break my promise to myself. Many of us, when we look at the end of December and the 1st of January, and it takes us 3 months to learn how to write 2018, we look forward to a new beginning most of the time. It signifies the end of one year and the beginning of another. So this morning, as we begin together as a body, and I as your pastor, I want to challenge and encourage you to begin anew. I want to challenge you and encourage you to let go of the things of the old, to wipe the slate clean and look forward to what God is going to do this year. When I say that, in my mind, here's what I have envisioned. I've got the whole year planned out. Okay? The whole year planned out goes like this. The Butler community, there's only one thing we're going to do this year. And then there's like a million subtasks or implied tasks that go along with that. I envision more kids sitting in this sanctuary. I envision Sunday school or children's church happening every Sunday. I envision more of our people getting involved on a regular basis. I envision a church coming together to praise its God for what He will do through it, through them, and through us. So that one and only thing can happen is that I point this way. I'm guessing it's that way. So that the community of Butler will know who Christ is and will know His glorious name and the direction in which Butler resides. Now I feel like an air traffic controller. But I look forward to that. I have been accused many times of being a person who lets a cart get ahead of the horse. And to no surprise, I would agree with that. Because I think sometimes as a pastor, sometimes as a leader, you have to have a vision that is beyond today. Because guess what? Is the church the same it was 10 years ago? And if we could see what the church might be like 10 years from now, we might be able to prepare for that. So, the one thing is that this community would know Christ. Well, we can have that community too if they want. I'm not going to be choosy. So, in kind of an expository form, I want to get through the 11 verses So I'm going to, you got your bulletin there. You have the notes that you can make. I'm going to try and go fast and furious a little bit because I want you to be able to say that we can be found in God's favor and we'll understand how to be found in God's favor and look forward to writing a new story individually, corporately, collectively. And to understand that, I want you to use the acronym ACT. Okay? So as the new year comes, I want you to act on the new. I want you to take action or to act upon what God might be doing. And so we begin in verse 1. And by ACT, the first A is to acquire it through redemption. Our God is a God of redemption. Verse 1, redemption from bondages. So when I say verse 1, redemption from bondages, that's what the verse is explaining. Redemption 1, verse from bondages. The sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord is anointed to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners. I'm not going to read each verse, but I'm going to encapsulate each verse by summary. And then you can go back and match those verses up. You know, a new story is really only possible because of what Jesus Christ did. Amen? Right? What he did 2,000 years ago on the cross. And if truly, let's say this year is a year of grace, God has already redeemed us from our captivity of sin. However, many of us don't know about this good news of redemption in this community. And this community and outside these four walls, we don't need to remain poor. We don't need to remain broken and disheartened and remain prisoners of sin. We have to live up to the new life God has given us. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone in Christ is a new creation, we kind of talked about this morning, the old has gone and the new has come. Verse 2, redemption from shame. Today is the year of God's favor and grace. In the new year, we can say goodbye to shame and fear. From the last year, which was full of maybe failures and mistake and brought us shame and disgrace. But this coming year, we can write a different story if we'll just grab the opportunity of God's grace and let Him lead us. We can repent from our sin and receive God's forgiveness. This, the year of the Lord's favor in Hebrew language, means a general amnesty wherein they could obtain a great favor from God and people. Grace. Unmerited favor. The year of the Lord. In fact, they forgive Jewish and Hebrew tradition, they forgive debts of their neighbors during those years past, repent, and decide to live a new life for Christ as in us. Verse 3, redemption from corruption. This verse talks about 70 years of captivity in Israel and Babylon, wherein they literally put ashes on their head as a sign of mourning. Those who've captivated them required a song from them, but they answered in Psalm 137:4, how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? Indeed, captivity brought corruption in our lives. living under the bondage of vices and sin, making us look old, and they try to steal our happiness. They try to steal our joy. However, when God transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, our countenance will shine out the glory of God. And it produces fresh smiles on our faces in the light of the hope of the world that will shine out to a community that is looking for something they cannot find. Do we call ourselves unto God, or does God call us unto Himself? But by the grace of God, we are saved through faith in His Son, His resurrected Son who hung on the cross. Step two. When we are writing a new story, we can collect it through restoration. Collect it through restoration. We've acquired. Now we're going to collect. Collect. Restoration of broken lives. Verse 4. How many has ever seen a ghost town? Ghost town. Okay, what's the one place in Pennsylvania? I've been there before. Can't remember it off the top of my head. But you remember it's like it's the real life town of Silent Hill. It's where the underground burning coal comes up through the streets, and it turned into a ghost town because it became uninhabitable. And if you've ever seen a ghost town, or if you've ever, let's say, you know, Christmas Day in Erie, Pennsylvania, it could be an abandoned place of ruined buildings without any inhabitant, ruined cities. They are like ruined lives. There's no room for happiness there. What remains is sadness and broken hearts for a ghost town. But God has the power to restore brokenness and broken lives. I think all of our lives would show an example of this, and my life is no different in the past. I've even, you know, we've all broken our families apart in some form or way. And I can tell you how miserable it is to live apart from God. You can too. I can tell you how miserable you'll be when your life falls apart. But I can also tell you that there is a God who can restore our lives to fullness. Because He renewed my heart. He renewed my soul. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He renewed my mind. He restored my family. And I can tell you now the joy of being restored again to the family of God. Our God is a God of restoration. If He were not, He would not have sent His Son to die on the cross so that we might be restored to the state before Adam and Eve in the garden. We're not quite there yet. We will be there. Not perfect. We're not in our perfect state just yet. But our God is a God of restoration. In verse 5, restoration of God's favor. The restoration of God and people's favor is one of the benefits of renewed life. As our life changes, it changes for the better. People around us notice the changes in us. They will restore their trust and confidence in dealing with us. Our past will become history and testimony of God's power to change lives. And they will glorify God because of how His people and His miracle goes and lives through us. 6. Restoration of God's calling. I once was in the military in a mission-minded field. I had been a Bible school graduate. And when I retired, I didn't have any choice but to leave my military ministry and find work outside of the military. And upon leaving the military, I had to gradually adapt to a different system. I gradually had to adapt to a world around me. Now, in the military, it's really structured and all of that. And let's look at it like the Christian life. There are certain ways we live, right? And it kind of like for all of us, when we go out into the workforce every day, we have to adapt to a corrupted system. So when we gradually adapt to a corrupted system to the world around us, it isn't until God, in His unspeakable mercy, catches us and He restores our lives. He breaks the hold of the darkness within us, around us. He breaks the hold of darkness and lightens us in our life. And he restores the happiness of our calling. I don't know if you guys know this. I'm going to be a little transparent here this morning. But did you know that 95% of pastors who go into their first ministry last about 3 years? And then when they transition, most of them decide never to go back into ministry again out of that percentage. That's mind-blowing, right? Much would be said or could be said the same about us. Because I at one point said, I don't know if I want to go back into ministry again. Church ministry, pulpit ministry. So much like in the 2 years that our church spent praying for somebody. Praying for what might be the next phase. We spent the last year plus praying, what would be next for us, God? I mean, you know, we have many different gifts and talents as a church and individually. And we say, I don't know if I want to go back into ministry again. Some people say, I don't know if I want to go back to church again. And I equal it the same. But rest assured, God will restore His calling, not only in your ministry, but God will restore His calling into you as an individual unto Himself. He will restore your happiness, and He will find and restore the right path to deliver us from bondage of sin. He will tell you, I've got a different plan for your life. As He called Moses after 40 years of silent in the desert of Midian, He renews our calling. And again, I was called again to minister for God, humbled by His grace, honored by His changing power, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Number 7, He gives us restoration of joy. And I know some of this may sound a lot alike, but the loneliest place in the world is a place of bondage, prison, captivity, and being held by the things that inhibit us or inhabit us from living a free life. Those who have lived there before understand what I mean. We've all been there. When we've accepted Christ into our life. We know what it's like to be bound and captive by our brokenness and our depression and our anxiety and Satan who wants us to remain there. but God can restore all that has been stolen from us by the enemy. Whether it is love, joy, family, relationship, property, reputation, peace of mind, health, our welfare, and all that the enemy has stolen from us when we fall into sin. You know, I'm reminded of a story of a man who once had a motorcycle accident in an isolated place in the Philippines, right? I don't know the guy's name, but you guys will understand what I'm talking about because this is how they operate third world countries. And Philippines is close. But the guy had a motorcycle accident. And after having the accident, the victim called for help. But instead of people helping him, the nationals, the people around him, robbed him of all his belongings, including his motorcycle that he just wrecked. And these people were incredibly heartless. It's like, kick a man while he's down, why don't you? Incredibly heartless. And the devil was just like those heartless people. Once we become or became his victim, he kicked us while we were down. He will steal everything from us. He will rob us of our joy, our peace, our patience, our kindness. He will rob us of all of our character that God once said, you're mine. But God is our rescuer, our restorer, our healer. And He can rescue our lives when no one else wants to help us. We can cry for His help and He will surely come. He's just a prayer away. Excuse me. Not only can He restore us of our joy, He can restore us of His covenant. What do I mean by that? And I want to read 68 verse 1. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. He's talking about Israel, but we can parallel this in how God moves in our lives. The covenant that He's made with us. Maybe one of the part of that covenant was, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Not that He takes it away, but He restores that. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, they had broken their covenant with God. And just in case you don't know, this sin is like a breach of contract. And we've all breached that contract. It breaks our covenant with God. But God is talking here of an everlasting covenant written by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can obtain this everlasting covenant by accepting Jesus Christ into our heart and making Him the Savior and King of our lives. Then when we become adopted children of God and co-heirs with Jesus in His kingdom. John 1:12 says, but as many are received Him, He gave them authority to become the children of God to those who believe on His name. A God who is the restoration of His own blessings. Verse 9. Restoration of God's blessings. See, sin is the cause of bankruptcy, whether financially, spiritually. The story of the prodigal son is about financial bankruptcy. However, it is also a picture of our spiritual bankruptcy, of our spiritual fall once we depart from our Heavenly Father. once repentant and returned, the father in the story restores his right as a son, including his possessions. Remember, he went and sold everything, and he just wanted to be a farm worker under his dad. He wanted to be a slave because he knew it was far better for him to be a slave than to be out there on his own. And he was restored his possessions, meaning his father gave him another first possession, if you want to call it. He gave him the finest coat he had at a party. You know, it's like, okay, so we're going to go back to the redneck side of Pastor Brian, right? Remember last time we talked about Shark Tank, Shark Week, you know, and our hunting host, right? So I've come up with a name for him, and I've resurrected the name from Halloween costume, but Reverend Roadkill, okay? And so, Reverend Roadkill, you can imagine that he's inviting his son back, and they've got a pig roast going on. They probably got a couple guns shooting up in the air. They've got a couple banjos and 5-gallon buckets and handmade whistles, and they're excited because the father's excited because his son has returned. I'm sure we'll hear a lot more about Reverend Roadkill over the next couple years. But once repentant returned, the father restored his right. Of course, there are consequences because of his mistakes. He lost half of his entire possession. However, the joy of being accepted in the family again brought more joy than any earthly properties he could have obtained. And we know that the riches of the Heavenly Father cannot be measured. We don't have to fear bankruptcy in God. As a disobedient produce curse, obedience also produces blessing. Let me say that again. As disobedience produces curse, obedience also produces blessings. I can tell you firsthand both sides. You know, talking about returning the joy of his blessings. If you're not following God, people say, well, why? You know, I believe in God. Why is God not blessing me? Well, do you expect God to bless those things of disobedience? But then it seems like when we get back on the right track from our sin and we're following God, we're following his will, we're following his way, it's like being restored. Those things kind of just come back, right? Think about it like a drug addict. Okay? You know, no story of a drug addict where they just poor, broke, and alone and sleeping in an abandoned building, right? They all tell a story about how, you know, they had a job, they had a family, they had this, they had that. But along the way, this one thing, no matter what it is, kind of ruined their life. And they're left alone, broke, in despair, dry, and by themselves. And typically, for those who come out of that, they come to a place of restoration. And much is like the same with God. If we're following God, we can't follow the things that God is against. We cannot conform, right, to this world, but by being transformed by the renewing of our mind, God can only bless those who will obey the laws of his blessing. When I say laws, I mean that in the construct, that in the contract. And God says, I will bless those who bless me. He He wants blessings for his people, especially those blessings that give glory to his name. And we'll finish it up through 10 and 11. People in captivity cannot sing the song of joy. It's only when our lives have been delivered by the grace of God that we can sing the song and praise God and in his celebration. That is a result of his redemption. And that as a result, in the third part, is to take it through redemption. A-C-T. Take it through. And the T is our T in act. Take it. Not redemption. Take it through rejoicing. For all y'all who are writing notes, I'm sorry you had to scribble out redemption and write in rejoicing. Or you could have tried and been like 2017, 18, you know. But you'll know what it means. Take it through rejoicing. Cannot sing the song of praise and celebration in captivity. It is only when our lives have been delivered by the grace of God that we can sing a new song. And as a result of restoration, we take it through rejoicing. In 61:11, for as the soil makes the young plant come up, a garden causes seeds to grow. So the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Let me take that to a local level. Let's take it to Butler. What town's this way? Okay, Saxonburg, Butler. Okay, this way? Okay, and then this way. There you go. I'll try to remember that. Butler's not this way. All right. But, for as the soil makes the young plant come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, this garden causing seeds to grow on the inside, so the sovereign Lord, you're the garden, we're going out, planting seeds, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up in the town of Butler. For a nation of people down there. Because from the heart of the ungenerate people spring up evil thoughts and actions. But restoration will produce righteousness. Restorations will produce righteousness from the heart. As the love for God will naturally flow from within our spirit. This year. The end of this year. I'm kind of in next year already, okay? I'm kind of charged for that. But this year, here's my challenge to you, and I'll finish with a story. My challenge to you, individually, as a church, as a body together, is that we experience God's redemption. And for those who don't know Jesus, those who have not accepted Christ into their heart as their Lord and Savior, let us experience God's redemption and freedom from sin by accepting Christ as our Savior in our lives. Allow the Holy Spirit to restore and renew our hearts and mind day by day that you can experience real, true, Christ-like joy and the celebration of a new life in him that is Christ. So, collectively and individually, I want to say this. If you're already tired of living in fear, if you're tired of living a miserable life in the valley of a ruined city called sin, you can still change direction. You can still choose the right way. You can still choose Jesus. And you can still write a different story of your life in 2018. It's not 2018 that changes us, but it's Christ within. We need to act on it. Scripture tells us He is the author and perfecter of our faith. How many people like to write? Right? Okay. Okay, so when we were growing up and going to school, we'd probably, you know, like in literary class or whatever, we'd like to sit back and write stories, right? If Christ is the author and perfecter of our faith, let's talk about writing a new story. Now, I'm an author. Most of you know that. I like to write books and stories and that kind of stuff. And we're made in the image of God, right? So if Christ is our author and perfecter of our faith and He's made us in our image, then He's made us to write a story. Such as much so, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the Word made flesh, the author. And I would like to explain it like this. God wrote a story. Jesus was His character, His main character. And the Holy Spirit was the evolvement of the story. Moving and shaping things how they must according to God's will. And much is the same like us. Us, if you want to say we're authors. We have a main character. And we have a narrative. And it's up to us what story we write. Whether it's 2017 or 2018 or 2019 doesn't make a difference. What makes the difference is how we're writing our story. In your story, what does it look like? In your story, is there redemption? I think everybody wants to end their story on a good note, right? And so that leaves us with choices and decisions. See, there's a difference between a choice and a decision. You don't make a choice. You're presented with choices or options. You make a decision which way you want to go. I can choose the expensive route, or I can choose the inexpensive route, or I can choose kind of, you know, you can go any way you want, but it's up to you to make the decision of the choice. See, the difference between a choice and a decision, while choices are options, a decision is what brings accountability to the person who's choosing. And so when one day all of life is over, while we walk together and help each other, and we're there for one another, when we stand before God, we'll stand alone, and we'll stand accountable for the decisions that we made, not for those around us. So I pray that this new year, as we're making decisions as leaders in a church, in our church, as we're making decisions individually about which way we're going to take our life, we would make the decision to write a new story, to write a better story, or to write the story that God would call us to write. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, You've begun a new thing. I don't only believe not just in my heart, but in the hearts of others. Father, I pray that as we come together as a church, and what mission we're just starting, Lord. Father, I pray for our leaders. I pray for our body, for those who are sick, for those who might be in a place that we don't understand, only You can, Lord. Father, I pray that as we go into 2018, Father, You would bless us abundantly in Your year of grace as You did Israel. Father, I pray that You would help us to act on the story that You would have us to write. because it's only through you that we're able to write that story. And it's only through you that we have the ability to be free from the beginning or the hard part of the story, Lord. We can be redeemed in you. Father, I pray for those who don't know you in this community, in Butler. Father, that they may experience the freedom from sin through those who are planting seeds. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We honor and adore you. For you deserve more than we can give. We praise in Jesus' name. Amen.